If you have ever been curious about Dungeons & Dragons, or the people who play it, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Ready, Set, Roll Insight, where you will learn how to be a better player and what drew people to the game in the first place. Now, join us for Insight with your host, Daniel Wells.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ready, Set, Roll Insight. I am your host, Daniel Wells, and with me today is Sam Gates.
Hi.
He is one of the members and players of what is known as the Bottle Cap Brigade. So how are you doing today, man?
Doing good. It's like 106 degrees here in Boise, so I'm sweating already, but I think that's okay. I have a bit of an excuse for it, so could be worse.
It's the humidity that kills me more than anything else.
Yeah, well, and we're like high desert too, so it's just a dry, gnarly heat that no one really enjoys, but it's pretty. So,
but yeah, today I got Sam on here to do an interview. One, to promote his podcast that he is a part of, the Bottle Cap Brigade, and two, discuss today's topic, which is new players and involving them and DMing for them in a game of D&D 5e.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dan. I'm kind of stoked for it. It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. So what I like to do normally is ask the person, what is their experience with tabletop games as a whole? And, how many years you've had so that people can see your experience going into this conversation?
Sure. Well, the funny thing about kind of my background, I grew up in a really small town in Eastern Oregon. So there was really nothing to do as far as like any sort of culture. And people were pretty few and far between too. So it was more like ride a four-wheeler and go hiking out in the woods, right, on the mountains. And so I really didn't get a whole lot of actual exposure to tabletop games and RPGs and stuff other than video games like Oblivion and Skyrim and stuff until after I graduated high school and moved to Boise, right? I kind of dabbled in stuff like Magic the Gathering, but it was pretty much me just like collecting cards because there was no one to play with, right? I've always loved any sort of fantasy, right? Like the Magic the Gathering books when I was growing up were some of my favorites, right? Even now, like The Name of the Wind and Patrick Rothfuss's entire whatever he's doing is great, right? But I didn't start sinking my teeth really heavily into D&D until maybe five-ish years ago, I would say. When I started like DMing my first campaigns and getting groups of friends together and really starting to figure out the mechanics and what D&D actually meant. Like before this, it was all just kind of pop culture, right? Like what I heard on Community and stuff like that. So
I hear a lot of people got hooked up to Dungeons & Dragons through Community.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there was a lot of stuff, especially with everything that's kind of going on in the social climate right now. I think they pulled one of their episodes that was talking about D&D, and it's just that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was. They came out and said that they shouldn't have done it. I don't know. It's some whole thing, but it really makes it an interesting kind of dynamic to see D&D get popularized through like pop culture, and it. I talked about this actually in one of the other interviews I did with one of our players. It's fascinating how it went from like you're a giant nerd and that's a bad thing if you play D&D to you're a giant nerd and that's awesome. And I wish I was as big of a nerd as you are if you play D&D now, and I just kind of love that. So,
oh yeah, it's a lot more enjoyable to see the diverse group of people you can get to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons and how you can connect with them through Dungeons & Dragons and everything. But so that's awesome. So 5 years ago would have been probably fifth edition, right? Or did you jump in on that 4E goodness?
Yeah, it was all 5E. It was like after the launch of 5E, right? And since then, like I've started to kind of understand 4E and like I've played 3.5 quite a bit. And I'm really glad I missed that boat.
Well, 3.5 was the number crunch. 5E was the, like, beginner's guide to Dungeons and Dragons, because it's all real easy to get into. Like, anybody can get into fifth edition with just a little bit of guidance.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I think, like, that's what was so appealing about it, is because, like, there was enough of that technical, like, oh, to be a spellcaster, you have to use your brain. But, like, it wasn't so, like, threatening as, like, first edition is, right, where it's just a statistical nightmare, you know? So it's a good balance.
Kids want to hear about Thaco?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So was your beginning experience, like, a good one? Like, did you have a good supportive DM and everything going into all this?
Yeah. So, funnily enough, my first experience with this was as a DM with just Dungeons and Dragons as a whole. So yeah, it was me and a couple of my friends. They were roommates at the time, and just kind of a scattering of friends. And I was like, well, I guess I'll DM. So I took the the player's handbook. Like, I read through it. I took the DM's guide and read through it. And I took the monster manual and just, you know, really kind of dug into that too, and figured it out, right? Like, I just ran like a really simple, like, CR1 little one shot with some of my friends. They fought like goblins, I think, or it's just something, right? I didn't know a goddamn thing about it. And to this day, like, if I could go back and redo that session, it probably would have been a lot more fun for everyone. But it was still like, you know, I watched a lot of like Matt Mercer and Critical Role to like prepare for it. So I had the general sense of like, okay, this is what a DM does. Like, I know I can't pull a fucking Matt Mercer because he's great at what he does, but I knew what I was aiming for, at least, you know.
Fun adventure for a group of friends that you want to introduce to an interesting game that caught your eye.
Exactly.
As innocent as it is. Yep. So you feel like definitely after all these years, you've gotten a better handle of Dungeons and Dragons and could run that game again to smoother effect.
One would hope, right? Like, since then I've homebrewed a couple of campaigns and, you know, played D&D almost every week for the last couple of years. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, one would hope that I've grown a little bit as like a player and or a DM, but you never know. I might just be lying to myself. So,
well, let's talk about how new players getting into the game, like, how would be the easiest ways to get them involved? Because my typical suggestion is you're not going to know everything, so don't go in thinking that you need to know everything. It's not like going in for a test. This is all for fun and games. This isn't for life or death situation of if I don't pass, I'm going to have it on my permanent record or something. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, well, and I mean, like, I resonate with that a lot, and that is something that I definitely wish someone would have told me when I was first starting, right? Because I mean that has a lot to do with my personality, right? Like, I personally want to know what I'm doing before I go in there and fumble and trip on myself, right? Like, I want to know how to recover from that. Yeah. So, to answer your question, I think it really depends on the person and their motivations for starting to play D&D. Like, I did it because I love the concept of like fantasy RPG, and I know what to expect out of it because I played so much Skyrim and I played so much Oblivion, you know, or Dragon Age or whatever. But like, a lot of the people that I've played with before haven't even like heard of D&D before, right? Like, it's someone that I'm just like at a party with or something. I'm talking about D&D and they say, oh, that sounds sick. Like, I want to fucking try that. And so we bring them in, and it's all about just like going through like a character creation. Like, okay, here's kind of your list of different classes that you can be. Here's all the races that you could be with that class. What sounds like a fun way to just fuck around with your friends and have a couple beers and like hang out, you know? And I think everyone's motivation for doing that is different. Like, if you have a DM that knows what they're talking about, or it can fudge on the rules well enough or whatever, like, I'm loosey goosey as hell. I don't really play D&D like you should sometimes. But it's just because it's fun, you know, and I think that's what's most important to me, at least.
Because most people in their later times of Dungeons & Dragons will say, hey, the rules are just for guidelines to help you set up your next thing. Like currently with your Bottle Cap Brigade, you said, if I'm not mistaken, your DM, Austin, made all this from scratch homebrew and is running you guys through an entire homebrew campaign.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and I think that's, you know, this is a really good iterative example of kind of that point, right? So like Austin is solid on 3.5. He knows 3.5 in and out. He's played a lot of that, but he's less familiar with some of the ins and outs of like some of the fifth edition rules, right? So like I know a lot more about some of the actual like hard, fast rules behind 5e, which is fine. Like, and if it's something that's I feel like he might be breaking it, I'll bring it up and either he chooses to listen or not, and it doesn't really matter because it's just D&D and that's fun. But yeah, he made it purely from scratch, which is badass. Like I love running like Curse of Strahd and stuff, but if you're gonna do it, you might as well just go fucking big, right?
Yeah, Curse of Strahd is definitely one of those books, though, that is not baby's first campaign, though.
Dude, no shit. Like, have you seen the Reddit thing on flushing out Curse of Strahd? The whole, like, post that someone did? It's absolutely, anyone watching at home, like, if you're going to run the COS campaign, just Google the Reddit fleshing out of it. It saves you, like, all of your hair and probably, like, a kidney stone or something. That module is a fucking pain in the ass. But
so what started you all with the Bottle Cap Brigade? Like, what was the ignition point to get you all to what I think is 28 episodes now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 28 tracked.
So yeah. You guys have been playing this long before you started recording it.
Yeah, well, kind of. So we started a campaign. Austin kind of, I think he came to me or maybe the other Austin with it at one point, just said, hey, I kind of want to start playing D&D again. I have some more time in my days, so I kind of want to get back into it. And so my house here in Boise, I have a pretty good-sized house, like a nice entertainment space. And so we got kind of everyone together. There was a couple of people that we brought in early that kind of dropped out. But we didn't really have the conversation about actually recording it and streaming it until maybe like 10 sessions in, I think. So there was, we all kind of had some foundational characters there. I think I already got KO'd once, but there was already like a bit of a dynamic, and we had so much fun with it that we were like, you know, fuck it. We might as well just record this. Maybe people will think it is kind of funny. And so I guess a few people have, and we've just kind of gone deep with it, so it's been fun. But
so did you all do did you guys just jump straight into streaming, or did you start off as a normal audio podcast and then was like, let's do the streaming side of things?
Yeah, and that's a really good question, man. So like we started out videotaping it, kinda like doing a shitty job at it, but whatever, and we just had like a Yeti mic that was set up in the middle of all of us. And we were just like, fuck it. Like, let's see what happens. So it sounded like trash and looked like trash, which I don't know if we sound or look any better now, but like, whatever. And it, like, there was actually a little bit of discussion too about whether streaming it was going to impact how we play, or like recording it was going to impact how we play, or like take away from some of the fun of D&D. Which was a really, like, that was a really interesting bit of insight. And for us, it hasn't changed that at all. Right. But, you know, yeah, again, to answer the question, we just kind of started tracking it on video right off the bat and just putting it on YouTube. And putting it out in podcast form was kind of an afterthought, because I'm an audio engineer. And I was like, fuck it, I kind of want to listen to it on Spotify too. So
what's some of the difficulties with having to, with a live stream instead
good
of
question. A, yeah, instead of just like a
cut and copy post. Yes.
Yeah, well, so honestly, and this, some people might disagree with me on this, you might too, but like I personally think that doing a live stream is a little bit easier once you get it down, right? So like figuring out some of the technical aspects behind it, it took us a couple of weeks to figure out like, oh, this is what OBS is, and this is how you connect to Restream, and is it worth $20 a month to pay for this or whatever? And so kind of figuring that out initially took a pretty good amount of time, and it was pretty frustrating for I think me and Austin both. But once we got past that, now we just, I mean, we literally just stream it. It automatically uploads places. I just work over the audio really quick and throw it on Anchor. And then we're done. It's not like a whole uploading production and like editing production in post. We just do it and it's there. Right.
Right.
So, yeah.
How, which of the group of your iteration of Bottlecap Brigade were kind of new players going into, like, this was session one was the first session you guys recorded?
Yeah, good question. So Austin Von Johnson, he plays Aedris in the Bottlecap Brigade. He was brand new to D&D before we started actually playing, but he was, he's been an actor his whole life, and he works professionally as an actor. Same with Taylor Hawker, never played D&D before, but he wanted to be a bard, and you know, that fits his personality archetype really well. Let's see, Joe has played with me before. I was his DM for a while, and he's going to be DMing a one shot. He's been playing forever. And I think Miranda, has played once or twice, but I don't hate me or Miranda if you see this and I'm wrong about that. We've only played in person with Miranda twice because of COVID. So it's mm-hmm. been all streamy and lame, but yeah. So a lot of new players and Austin DMs really, really well with that. He's DM'd before. So he kind of fudges the right rules and pays attention to the right ones and makes the story the right way for that. So.
Do you all do a pretty good mix of combat versus RP versus, say, puzzle solving? Like, it's all mixed in there pretty well under his guidance?
Yeah. I think overall, and this kind of is how Austin does it, and I think also, like, pretty good for streaming kind of format. I think we're a little bit combat light as far as most D&D sessions and campaigns go. Which is okay. Like, there will be sessions where we don't get into any sort of fight at all. We go one or two sessions and there's maybe one or two small battles. But when we do actually engage, it's typically something that Austin has spent some time and like planned a dungeon crawl or, really built out a map. Whereas I'd say 95% of what we're doing in the RP realm is off the cuff, right? Like, he just writes his bullet points and then we go. So, little bit on the RP side. But.
Would you think for newer players that going more combat heavy of a game would be better, or going more of a role-playing game would be better for them?
Good question. And that kind of ties back to, like, did you ever watch the Rick and Morty, or read the Rick and Morty comic, the D&D Rick and Morty comic that they came out with? Okay, so it's fucking hilarious, and there's like 5 comic books or whatever. They're super cheap. You can pick them up on Amazon or you know, wherever. And Morty wanted to get into D&D because it was cool, and Rick wanted to show it to him, right? And so Rick goes through and initially, like, shows him first edition and second edition, and then he takes the whole family through like essentially a boss battle after boss battle, kind of like dungeon crawl series. Oh, yeah. Where they just decimate every enemy one after the other, and they get fucking bored with it, right? And I think that that's a really good, like, just kind of baseline understanding of how it's important to have a really good balance in everything, right? Like, for some people, like myself, for sure, I love getting into engagements because I get to get creative with how I built some of the combat aspects of my character. But like, I know most people really love to get creative with who their character is and what their backstory is. And if they've ever gotten in a fight with their dad in D&D and like how that affects their archetype now and all that kind of shit. And I think that finding that balance as a DM is what differentiates really, really good DMs from people that are just reading from the manual, right?
It's like, I'm currently running an adventure path for a bunch of friends, right? And I'm like, well, this is fine, but I want to interject my own personality into this character, or I want to make this combat a little bit different to where it's not so, oh man, I got to roll this dice and then that number comes out. It's, you know, you roll that dice and everything else can happen. Like you shot the tunnel and collapsed in on yourselves.
Yeah. Well, and like that goes into homebrewing too, in a lot of different regards. And like, I know it's like really time intensive. So for whatever. But like when I made one of my homebrews, it was all based off of the Four Corners, which is Patrick Rothfuss's like world that he built with The Name of the Wind. Yeah. And if you're familiar with that, it has a lot of the elements of like a traditional RPG, but it's just a fantasy novel, right? And so I just kind of took a lot of the world and the races and some of the magical archetypes that are in that and transitioned them to a D&D friendly kind of environment. But I got to choose, like if it was feeling a little bit RP light, I got to choose like, okay, let's introduce this character that's already built up by a famous fantasy writer that I just spin a little bit. Or if it got a little bit battle light, I would just say, okay, let's, you know, run through a sea battle or a you know, naval fight or whatever. And kind of tailor it that way. But
naval combat's always been kind of an interesting subject across, like we do spaceship battles.
Sure.
In our show, but it's still kind of you got to wrap your mind around it because it's a 3D, three-dimensional space because it's space. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, and even making the mechanics for something like that is crazy, right? Like, it took me, and I think this was another time that Reddit helped me quite a bit as a DM. You know, it took me a while to figure out, like, okay, what do I want the ship's movement speed to be? Like, what do I want the ship's HP to be? Like, how are we going to deal with it if someone, you know, jumps overboard? And just like some of the crazy shit that can happen with that is, it makes it interesting, right?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of something interesting to handle, I listened to, I've been listening to the Bottle Cap Brigade, right? But I started off on episode 11. Because I think
OG.
OG. And you guys talked a lot about, wow, this person's died like 8 times in the game and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how many deaths before you all started recording occurred, and what was your favorite one?
Sure. Well, we kind of blew that up a little bit, definitely. I think I kind of at that point, Janelle had died maybe once, like she lost a character. And I died as well. It wasn't in battle. I just made what I thought was like an RP appropriate choice for my character. He was a warlock and drank some demon blood because he, you know, no shit. And that turned him into a fucking demon. So he turned into a boss, right? But so we'd only lost 2, but it was within like the first, you know, 6 or 7 sessions that we had KO'd a few characters. And like it hasn't really happened since. We've gotten close until our last episode. I actually, Ong died, not to, you know, spoilers or whatever, but it was fucking sad. Like I think Miranda cried. Like it was a fucking bummer. So if you want to watch some real heart-wrenching shit, that's a good thing to watch there. So
that gets on to the topic. How do you think handling character deaths, like handling character deaths is a very sensitive moment, especially if you've played with that character for several sessions or even a year, if you've gone on a long campaign. What do you think is the best way, especially if you have a new player, the best way to handle the death?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. And like for me personally, I think that I have come to understand that it's a part of like a story narrative, that in D&D, as much as we like to think about it like this when we're players, or even sometimes as a DM, that these players are have some sort of permanence or are invulnerable or are stronger than everyone else, like, that's absolute bullshit, right? They're just fucking beings in this world that exist on the same playing field as all of these other beings, right? They might be stronger than a goblin, but there's a boss out there that is a level 20 warlock that could rip the shit out of them, right? And so, like, I think that sometimes it's an inevitability, and sometimes, just like in any story, it's a necessary thing to, like, progress the story. Like, so with Ong's recent death, Austin actually made a mistake that led to him dying, which we talked about later, and it's okay, like, whatever, shit happens, right? But you know, when stuff like that happens, it's like, fuck, now I have to, like, give a shit and, like, repaint a mini and, like, all this stuff. But it was like, there's some movies that do this, like, something that probably everyone is really familiar with is Endgame, right? The Avengers series, right? Mm-hmm. Before the very last movie that came out, where they fixed everything and everyone was happy and it was a bunch of fan service, when Thanos snapped and, like, eradicated half of everything, if they would have just stopped the fucking series there, that would have been intense, right? That would have been fucking brutal, and would have probably been one of the best series of all time. But they went forward, right? And that makes sense. But sometimes I think it's impactful. And just being able to position that for new players and say, like, you're not invincible, you're not a god. This isn't a level 20 campaign. Like, be careful, and if you fuck up, you're probably going to die. I think that's important, you know? But
I still think the time travel aspect they used to go and fix everything irked me a little bit on Endgame. Because yeah. It's like, they had no way of fixing jack shit. And they're like, we can use these atoms to shrink ourselves in the time stream.
Yeah, fuck it. What? I could have wrote that. You know what I mean? Like, they were just lazy and drunk and whatever. Yeah. Like, let them do it, I guess.
But you're correct on that, though. It's not like nobody's going to really, if you're thrown into a level 20 game as a new player, you're not going to know what the hell you're supposed to do. Because one, you don't know any of the spells. Two, none of the abilities are registering. And three, you don't know what to do with all that power. Mm-hmm. It's like giving a kid's Superman's power just like that, and he won't know what to do.
Yep.
But I still think, like, the easiest times for a character to die is, like, in between that level 1 and level 2 area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, well, they don't have any other...
their shit figured out. And two, like, that dynamic, and not to cut you off, but, like, the dynamic between the DM and the player is kind of yet to be established as well, right? So, like, Why my first character died is because I didn't know exactly how hard Austin was going to go with DMing, right? I didn't know if he was going to be one of those DMs where it's like, you know, if you drink the demon blood, you're going to probably turn into a demon because you just saw someone else do it, and then you're going to be a fucking demon, so bye.
Right.
And so I think being able to figure out those kind of nuances, because me as a DM, sometimes, like, I would give some levity to newer players, especially where it's like, oh yeah, it's okay, you, like, kicked that orc in the shin, like, he won't smash your face, but just understand that he could smash your face, right? So they could get a little bit more, like, into their character and have a little bit more of that bond before I eventually probably kill them for being stupid.
Orc holds a grudge for 15 sessions and then comes back for the vengeance.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we are getting towards the end of our interview. This has been a very quick 30 minutes. So I'm going to hit you with some quick rapid fire questions.
Cool. Shoot.
Favorite book that they've come out for 5th edition?
Favorite book? Not going to directly answer that because I'm fucking stoked for Icewind Dale. I'm stoked for what they have in store from it. From what I've read from the developers, it's going to be a really, really nice bridge for new DMs, especially. And I'm really, really pumped for how it's going to build off of some of the other mechanics that were in PHB and Xanathar's. I think Icewind Dale is going to be fucking sick. I'm stoked for it.
Favorite monster?
Favorite monster? Okay, so two answers to that. One is cheesy and is a beholder because I just think it's fun. And then the other is really, really simple goblins. I think they're fun. I think you can use them for a lot of stuff. And I think gerblins are up there in my faves.
Well, if you ever read into goblins, they're actually very ingenuitive creatures. Like, they're dumb, but they know how to do a lot of stuff with the simple things that they have. Like, they can make traps, they can set ambushes, all this other stuff. It's crazy if you get in that deep dive what they can do to mess up a low-level party.
Yeah, yeah. It's that slow zombie kind of metaphor, right? Like, if there's a lot of them, they'll fuck you up. But they're mm-hmm. they're not too dangerous just one-on-one. But they're great. They're fun.
And tossing it to you, do you have any questions for me?
Oh, so as far as your guys' stream, are you guys going to be starting to do any like YouTube stuff, or are you guys going to expand that, or are you guys sticking on like streaming platforms like Spotify and such?
I don't know if we'll ever be able to go full stream, just because, you know, we try being careful about what gets said, and on a live stream that's a lot harder. And one of our players, he can sometimes fly off the handle on what he says, and we are like, oh no.
Yep. Yep.
So we're thinking we might do some YouTube stuff,
sure,
honestly, but yeah. For right now we're just keeping it on the Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher stuff.
Sure.
And then like going into what led us into this interview today, that Audrey network, mm-hmm. That was like kind of a big step for us mm-hmm. going into that huge networking. So, I'm happy of the results though. It turns out, gives me a lot more access to people to interview.
Yeah.
And to get more insight and ideas from.
Well, it keeps it fun, right? Like, because mm-hmm. D&D is all about a community, and like with Ready, Set, Roll, or with anything that anyone in the community does, I feel like being able to bolster that through just creating fun, like easy content is totally worth it. You know, it's a blast. But
all right, and our final thing, which is the namesake of the show, at the end of the show, I asked myself and my guest to give a piece of insight for people to take from the episode and maybe put it forward to their next game. Would you like me to start?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Okay. My piece of insight is, and this can apply to anybody, is you're not going to know everything. There's no way. I mean, you can read the books front to back all you want, but there's always going to be that one little thing you just didn't catch because it's not used a lot. So don't worry. You're not going to know everything. Like, I recently learned that everybody who's an adventurer can unarmed strike. Like, literally everybody can throw a punch with proficiency. Mm-hmm. That means the wizard with like a -4 strength mm-hmm. can throw a punch.
Yeah. Is it going to do any useful damage? It's maybe not. Yeah. But yeah.
It just, don't worry if you don't catch something that could have helped a little bit better, or you caught something that nobody else knows. Don't gloat about it. But, you know, it's, you're just not going to know everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so funny, kind of an aside to that, because I just re-rolled a new character. This is a bit of a spoiler as well, so go, like, subscribe, whatever, for the next show. But I made a sorcerer, and I rolled an 18 for one of my rolls, which I put to charisma, obviously, and then a 6 for another one of them, which I put on strength. And although the sorcerer can unarmed strike, it does 0 damage, which I think is fucking funny. Like, it just like kind of slaps at you a little bit. I don't know. It'll be fun.
So what piece of insight would you like to give to the people listening?
Yeah, I think there's really two, especially for new players, right? The first one is have a bit of confidence in yourself, right? And confidence in the people that you're playing with. Dungeons and Dragons is ultimately about you having fun and you feeling more connected with the people around you, right? Through a shared experience in an unreal situation. And I think if you can understand that no one is there to be negative, or no one should be there to be negative, then you're going to have a hell of a lot more fun. And you can have some levity with that confidence, and really just make it something great, right? Because that's what we all want to do. And I guess kind of the second piece to that is, don't be a negative fucking asshole, right? There's a lot of shit with D&D, just like with what you said, Dan. There is so much to know. I've never met anyone that knows everything about D&D, and I don't think I ever will, because it is expansive, to say the least. And so there's always going to be someone that knows more than you, so you're not fucking it that special. You're just another person that loves the game, and so act like that instead of an asshole, and make it fun for everyone else. You know,
it's not hard to not be an asshole. It's
yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, sometimes you got to be a bit of a dick, but you can also pick and choose. So pick and choose the right way.
Well, Sam, thank you very much for coming on for this interview. I got to learn a lot about your all show. I got to learn some good information from you that I'm going to take forward. It's real fun, man.
Ditto. Yeah, I'm stoked too. I don't know. Every time I do one of these, it gets me even more jacked than I am for like my weekly session. I get more pumped for it. So thanks so much for spending the time with me, man. And we'll have to do another one of these soon.
Oh yeah, let's get some plugs.
Yeah,
plug.
So lots of plugs. So if you just go into the Google machine and type in the Bottle Cap Brigade, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Now I just got my first like on my first tweet. So YouTube and Twitch. Twitch is a big thing for us, and YouTube are both really big things for us. If you like and subscribe on there, that means the world to us. As well as on Patreon, we have a bunch of fun content that we're going to start to post there. And more than anything, just go find the closest local D&D shop that is probably struggling a little bit right now due to COVID, and buy some dice and some minis from them, and let them know how loved that they are, because that's more important than anything right now. So,
now, are you the one who also runs the interview show on Bottle Cap Brigade?
Yeah. Dungeons and Dialogues is, I just put out two like character creation videos for new players. One is about barbarians, that I didn't do a very good job on. I made it well, but it was my first like vlog kind of thing that I ever made.
Right.
My second one on bards, if we can see a alphabetical theme here, I just put out, and I'm working one on sorcerers, as well as a couple interviews with some players. So I'll have to have you on that, too. Oh. I think that would be fun.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, once again, thank you all for listening to another episode of Ready, Set, Roll, Insight. We hope you enjoyed the information that was given and the company of our two personalities here, myself and Sam. And we will catch you all next time. Have a good night.
Bye.